There's language in this episode that may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Most poets stop writing. It's due to the fact that we're living in a culture that's simply designed to destroy us creatively.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poetry rituals. Coleridge did opium. Rimbaud thought a poet should derange all his senses. Rilke haunted a castle by himself to do his best work. Bernadette Mayer recorded everything that happened in a day for a month. But no poet has done quite what C.A. Conrad does to get a poem going. Conrad invents rituals, very strange and specific rituals.
Now I'm doing a very large ritual around the United States called Resurrect Extinct Vibration, where I'm using field recordings of extinct animals. What I've been doing is taking these field recordings and putting them on my body with small speakers. What's happening when I do this is that I become elated. And I'm upset about that because it should be depressing.
So this ritual, Resurrect Extinct Vibrations, is part of a much longer ritual with many steps. Its ultimate outcome is a poem.
After breaking in, the wolf calmed the hens so he could take his time with them.
I'm joined now by Rachel James. She is that rare thing, a poet and a radio producer. And we asked her to look into what C.A. Conrad is up to in these rituals. Rachel, tell us a bit about C.A. Conrad.
Yeah, C.A.'s been an influence of mine for a really long time. And in C.A.'s books, often the poems appear beside the rituals. And
yeah, the rituals are written out as almost indistinguishably from the poems, right? You can't really tell.
Well, they're not indistinguishable because, you know, one side is a ritual and then the other side is a poem.
I see.
But it's still sort of unclear to me. You know, I've always wondered, like, does C.A. actually follow the rituals? I didn't really know until I started working on this story.
So these rituals are new. They're totally invented by C.A. Conrad. They don't come out of a book. How in the world did C.A. Conrad get started doing them in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, that's like one of the first questions that I had. When I asked them, the story started, like most stories in our lives do, in their childhood.
Well, I come from a factory town in rural Pennsylvania, and it was a place that I knew that I had to leave when I was very young in order to be a writer, because I didn't want to be in the factory. Being in the factory meant that you weren't going to be able to do anything else. Working in the factory destroys so many parts of you. So I ran away.
C.A. went to Philadelphia and became a poet.
From 84 to 2005, I'm doing exactly what I want. I'm writing poems. And I'm enjoying my life tremendously. And then in 2005, I go back out to where I grew up for a family reunion. And it was on that train ride home that I had realized that the factory had followed me.
So, Rachel, what does C.A. mean there? The factory had followed them.
I think it means basically you don't have to literally have a factory job to be relating to your work as if you're like a factory boss watching, are you doing everything in the most efficient way?
So it's like C.A. internalized the factory floor in their own productive life as a poet.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see it on my desk the moment I got into my apartment. I could see that factory tabulating poems for magazines, etc. This was a crisis. It was a real crisis. So I stopped writing for the better part of a month.
So C.A. started thinking about all the ways that factory work degrades people, and they came up with a list.
And I realized going through this that I'd written a line at the top of this list, the sentence or the phrase, the inability to be present. I realized that was the problem. My family cannot be present because why on earth would you want to be present in a factory job? So they're either depressed about the past or anxious about the future. That's where they live. They don't live in the present.
So that's when what they call somatic poetry rituals got started.
The first ritual that I did was to eat a single color of food for a day, for 7 days. I started with red, and I would wear red. I wore a red wig that was abandoned in a garbage dumpster behind a beauty academy. It was pinned to a styrofoam head, but it was half permed and half straight. It was very strange looking. So that experience of being on the streets of Philadelphia, wearing this strange wig, eating only red foods, and making direct eye contact with people continuously who were weirded out by me, created the language in a way for the poem in such a way that it would have never happened otherwise.
So this became CA's practice.
It's amazing. I've never heard anybody, any poet, of all the thousands of poets I've interviewed, do anything remotely like this. It's amazing.
It is. It's like they actually found a way to avoid what they described, you know, their family in the factory, being anxious about the future or sad about the past.
I realized that the more I pushed myself with these rituals, for instance, the odder they became, the more inclined I was to be driven into an extreme present.
So now CA's been doing rituals for over a decade. That first one was in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are extremely complex.
Yeah, can you give us another example? We heard one about wearing red all day, but I think they get more complex than that. Can you give another example?
Yeah. Okay, so a recent one, they've been kind of leading up to preparations for this and are now finally really kind of like doing the ritual. It's called U.S. American Crystal Grid. And CA chose three locations in the United States. And when you connect the three locations, it makes a triangle. So it's Minneapolis, Memphis, and Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
They drove to each location, buried a copper bottle filled with crystals in each one. And I'll let CA tell the rest.
In the middle of the triangle is Omaha, Nebraska. And that is the seat of the ritual. So I bury a fourth copper container with these crystals and crystal-infused water, and that's the one I sit on top of. And then I have a compass, and I align myself with Minneapolis, and then I eat a little bit of the dirt from the Minneapolis location and listen to an ambient recording that I made of what was just going on in the air while I was there. Once I tune in, I then start writing. I make three turns, and it's that third turn. It's that third one where those notes are where the poems come from.
And so one of the poems we have here, do you want to read it?
Sure. Glitter in my wounds. First and most important, dream our missing friends forward. Burn their reflections into empty chairs. We are less bound by time than the clockmaker fears. This morning, all I want is to follow where the stone angels point. Birdsong lashing me to tears. Heterosexuals need to see our suffering, the violent deaths of our friends and lovers. To know glitter on a queer is not to dazzle, but to unsettle the foundation of this murderous culture. Defiant weeds smashing up through cement. You think Oscar Wilde was funny? Well, darling, I think he was busy distracting straight people so they would not kill him. If you knew how many times I have been told, you're not like my gay best friend who tells me jokes and makes me laugh. No, I sure as fuck am not. I have no room in my life to audition for your pansy mascot. You people can't kill me and think you can kill me again. I made a tree in Amsterdam and stood barefoot beside it for 20 minutes, then left completely restored. Yet another poem not written by a poet. Sometimes we need one muscle to relax so the others follow. My friend Mandy calls after a long shift at the strip club to say, "While standing in line for death, I am fanning my hot pussy with your new book. Will you sign it next week, my fearless faggot sister?" I believe that everybody should be writing in their lives as their lives are. I don't think it works to get up an hour earlier to write. That's not going to work. You're not going to sustain that. And you're going to go back to not writing.
I feel like CA, maybe more than many other poets I've encountered, believes in poetry,
mm-hmm.
like the power of poetry, which sounds kind of cheesy when I say it, but when CA talks about it, it's like practical. And over the years, they've come to give many other people poetry rituals. It's sort of like part of their job.
I had a student at Naropa when I teach there. This is a few years ago. She was such a brilliant poet. And then 4 or 5 months later, I'm back in Boulder, Colorado, where the school is, to do a performance. And she came, and I thanked her for coming. And I asked her how her writing was since the workshop, which was, 4 or 5 months ago. And she said, I haven't written since the workshop. And I said, that's crazy. Why do you mean you're not writing? You spent thousands of dollars to go to writing school and you're already not writing. I said, do you not remember me saying in the workshop that almost all poets stop writing? And she burst into tears. And she said, you don't understand. I can't write. I asked her, what on earth happened to you? You're such a brilliant poet. Why? She got work in a medical office doing billing. So this is a good example of what I mean by this culture we're living in is designed to destroy us creatively.
CA makes a point of finding a way to write in your life as it is. I mean, people have to work. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of menial jobs out there, not just factory work.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really good jobs that pay really well that are also degrading in their own way.
Yeah. So many of these jobs take so much out of you.
So what I had her do was very simple. Well, she opened up her computer at her stupid job, and then she opened up a Word document, and 3 times an hour she would stop and she would type as fast as she could and then go back to work. For 5 minutes she would do this. And when I say type as fast as you can, I mean you type ahead of the editor, because you need to get ahead of that internal editor to get the raw magical language. At the end of the week, she would print this huge document out. Now, this, like, it looks like garbage. But when you carry that around with a highlighter pen, you start to find these nuggets, these wonderful golden nuggets. And you cull that together and you start making poems. And then once you find your way back to that side and part of you where you had lost your way, you don't ever have to look for it again. Hello, Alex.
Hi, CA.
Hi, how are you doing?
So when I was recording CA in the studio, I wanted to see what it would be like to be given a ritual. Like, what's the actual process like?
This is where your friend Alex Schmidt comes in. She's not a poet. She's an artist and a comedian, right?
Yeah, she calls herself a comedian who makes sculptures. Mm.
So you want a somatic poetry ritual?
Yes, please.
So Alex, let me ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
Is there anything going on in your life right now that's troubling, or maybe even something in your life that's tedious and boring that you have to do but don't like to do?
I mean, I have a couple things, and maybe you could let me know which one is standing out to you. One is I've been having a lot of issues with my mom, establishing boundaries with her. I am exhausted by the idea of communicating with her, which is rare. Usually we talk a lot.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
It's perfect. Cool. Because yeah. Everything in your life, everything in our lives really rests on these relationships anyway. So this is a perfect opportunity. So can you get your hands on, let me think about this. Can you get your hands on a very large piece of white paper?
Okay.
And your communications with your mom, they're mostly, she doesn't live with you, so it would be over the phone, et cetera, right?
Yes. Over the phone, she calls me a lot, or texting a lot.
Gotcha. So you're going to have this piece of paper on the wall, okay. And I want you to get a fistful of crayons or colored pencils, magic markers. And while you're on the phone with your mother, don't be on the phone more than 5 minutes. How's that sound?
Okay.
And don't let her know you're doing it. This is for you. Just make an excuse and get off the phone after 5 minutes. But you're not looking at the paper. So you're okay. Standing on the phone with the crayons, and you have the crayons against the paper, and you're looking away, though. You're not looking at what you're drawing. And while you're talking to your mother, you just start moving your hand around and making this drawing, whatever it is.
Okay.
And then when you're finished with that, get off the phone. And I want you to sit as far away as you can get in that room and look at it with binoculars. While you're looking at it, I want you to wet your finger. Maybe just put your finger in your mouth and wet your finger and then redraw it on your forehead while you're looking at it on the wall. And then when you get finished with that, I want you to take your notebook and start writing as fast as you can. This is not documentary poetics, so you're not writing about what happened. You're not writing about the ritual. You're just writing. As soon as your mind starts thinking about something in particular, especially around the situation, write faster. How's that sound for a ritual?
Sounds great.
So it's been 2 weeks and one day since I talked to CA, and I still haven't called my mother.
So you got her to record herself as she was doing or not doing these rituals, right?
Exactly.
I tried saying in a text, we could talk for 5 minutes, and she said, let's talk a different time. So yeah, here I am. I know I need to call her, and I will. I'm gonna call her right after I record this. And maybe she'll pick up and maybe she won't. I don't have much else to say, except that... Nope, that's it. Yesterday I needed to call my mom without too much of a ritual around it. Maybe because I'm a creature of habit, or maybe because I just wanted to call my mom. So I grabbed a receipt and put it on the steering wheel of my car. And when I talked to my mom on the phone, I scribbled on it. I wasn't supposed to be looking at the paper. And when I looked down, the pen was out of ink. I found another pen and I kept scribbling like crazy. And then I lost the receipt.
So she's having some trouble with CA's ritual. Did she ever do it?
She did. She did. She did it a number of times, like in her own way. Mm-hmm. She couldn't find binoculars, but she used an old digital camera to zoom into the drawings. And she wasn't always at home. Mm-hmm. The conversation wasn't always exactly 5 minutes.
So did she ever get a poem out of it?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Though, I mean, it wasn't really about that.
I started to relate to phone conversations with my mother as like something that I just needed to get done because I knew she needed to talk and I didn't want to make anything worse. And so I was just kind of like, okay, what will be easiest is if I just continue the habits and go through the motions and just keep things how they're supposed to be. That is what it is to like be bored at your job. I would like to use the ritual to remind me to choose presence over resentment, just because I think it makes me feel a little happier and more peaceful.
Are you going to be doing the rituals for the rest of your life?
Oh, yeah. I have rituals. I'll be definitely doing these rituals for the rest of my life because I've got a whole list of rituals, what to do if I'm diagnosed with cancer, how to... And then even thinking about problems about suppose I'm no longer able to write, like how to keep writing, like if I'm physically incapable of writing. Yeah, many, many ideas. I mean, you really, really should keep being creative as long as you want. And the fact of the matter is, we don't live very long. We just don't. And it's over. You just drop dead. I've found out that poetry has the ability to change us in ways that we are only barely starting to understand, those of us looking into it.
That was C.A. Conrad. Before that, we heard from Alex Schmidt, who we'd like to thank for participating in this experiment. Thanks, Rachel.
Yeah, thank you.
Rachel James is a poet and producer. You can read some poems by C.A. Conrad on our website.